Hearing the number of people hospitalised with COVID-19 has risen by 44% over the last 2 weeks. As of last night, there were 11 adult intensive care beds available in the entire system here and one paediatric ICU bed. Meanwhile, the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says that there were 460 patients waiting for a hospital bed this morning. Dr. Owen De Barra is a consultant in infectious diseases at the Mater Hospital in Dublin and a senior lecturer with the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. He's on the line now. Dr. De Barra, thanks indeed for taking our call. We've spoken to you at various stages during this pandemic over the last 18 months. 2 weeks ago, we were looking forward to the planned reopening of our society and social activity at the end of this week. Why do you think we're facing such a very different situation now in such a short period of time?
Good afternoon, Brian. Actually, it's Beaumont Hospital I work in, but not to offend my colleagues at the Mater Hospital. But I think it's kind of become a little bit of an inevitability when we see other countries further along with this, that as social interaction increases, we do see an increase in cases. And although we have a wonderful vaccine uptake, as many others have said, we don't have quite enough to prevent it getting to the vulnerable, to the unvaccinated, and to those in whom the two doses of vaccine hasn't provided enough protection. And it leads us to a precarious situation with the health service where there is really considerable pressure on resource to look after non-COVID and COVID.
Different countries are at different stages, both in terms of their vaccination programs and in this Delta wave. Looking at what had been happening elsewhere, would it have been possible to anticipate this, foresee it?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, they're a little bit ahead of us, not that far. But I guess the big question is, what interventions, what could we do differently? And I think that's what we've got to look to. You know, with the things that really, really work well are what we call those non-pharmacological interventions, the things we're used to now, the distancing, the masks, the hand washing, but also the staying away when sick. And this is a bit that I think in your last report makes such a challenge, because kids, by their nature, have snotty noses and coughs. Mm-hmm. But if we can stop people with any symptoms being present in the place, then that helps. And I think the other thing that we haven't embraced in this country is rapid diagnostic testing, antigen testing. It's part of the suite of tools used in many other countries. And I think we've really got to consider if we're going to continue towards some form of opening up. And I think as an infectious disease doctor working in a hospital, I really worry about a sudden opening up this week. I think that's fraught with such challenges for the health service and for people who need access to the health service, that I think if we're going to do more, we need to do it in a smarter way and use every tool available to us.
NPHET, as we know, is considering its recommendation to government in relation to Friday and what should happen at that point. And also the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, they're also due to meet to consider the question of booster shots for people who've already been fully vaccinated and in whom perhaps immunisation is waning. What's your view on boosters? How strong is the case for widening their availability?
I think there's a good case for boosters in certain individuals where we know that the immunity has waned, or we know that it's likely to have waned. I think the challenge with third doses or boosters as a tool is that they protect people. These vaccines are great at protecting people from ending up in hospital or ending up dying of COVID. They're not brilliant at preventing transmission of it from one person to another. So with a third dose or a fourth dose, some incremental improvement will happen in that, but it won't be the end of COVID. And it won't be the end of some level of transmission. And some people who either aren't vaccinated or, again, in whom serial doses of vaccine don't affect, won't be the end of it. So I think, and the other worry is that people are vaccinated and they suddenly feel that they're protected. And yes, they're protected against that severe outcome, but they're not protected against transmitting it on to somebody else. So the most effective interventions we have, unfortunately, are those that are the most difficult to do, which is breaking that chain from one to another with our behaviours. And that's incredibly difficult to do, but I think it's worth remembering that they really work.
What about the case for extending vaccination to those under 12, to children, in order to increase the overall proportion of the population that is immunised and get us closer to this level of herd immunity that we're told would be necessary really to provide an assured guarantee against particularly this Delta wave?
Yeah, again, and as you know, other countries are starting this, and the licensing applications for use of the vaccines in younger ages is going through the processes. I think it's a reasonable thing to do. We know these vaccines are safe. there's a balance in how you use them in each population. But I think the total population, every individual that we can protect, protects others in society. I think that obviously takes time. So I think we're facing a bit of a more impending problem at the moment with increasing numbers. But I think ultimately that's part of the solution.
Well, the immediate problem is managing the hospital numbers. And there's a lot of talk now about hospitals triggering a surge capacity to try to cope with COVID numbers if they continue to increase. And particularly, I suppose, in terms of the pressure on ICUs. What would that mean in a hospital like your own, Beaumont, or in other hospitals up and down the country, particularly the acute hospitals?
Well, we all had surge plans before, and in the first wave and second wave of COVID, those plans were enacted, which meant that many of the elective things, the things that you can turn off in a health system, the people who are waiting for a major surgery, who will need an intensive care unit bed after that surgery, those things can be postponed, although that's a disaster for those patients, their families, for those surgeons. And then ultimately it means that some areas that aren't intensive care units in the past got turned into intensive care units. And staff rosters got doubled up, all of these things to manage the excess demand. And then the other area that was done in the past was the private sector, take some of the routine or elective work, perhaps. So they're the kind of plans that were utilized in the past, and I imagine every hospital will have its plan and will have some elements of those. But obviously, enacting any elements of the plan impacts on other patients who also deserve care and deserve access to their treatments.
Dr. Eoin de Barra from Beaumont Hospital in Dublin, thanks for talking to us.